The Green Bay Packers finalized several changes on their coaching staff on Thursday. But first, we're joined for an interview with Packers cornerback Tay Glover Wright. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. At Cheesehead TV, I'm your host Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director Jamie Stone, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about several coaching changes the Packers made on Thursday. But first, we're talking to Packers cornerback Tay Glover Wright. We have him on the phone. Tay, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good this morning. You know, I'm glad to be here. How about yourself?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. To kick things off, tell me about how you came to Green Bay, because you signed to the practice squad in the middle of the season. Did it all come out of the blue? Did you receive a phone call? Did you have a workout with the Packers? How did it all come together?
Man, that was actually a long road for me. Actually coming from Atlanta. After they waived me, after the third preseason game, I was actually sitting at home for almost a month, and I was you know, pretty down, depressed. All my chances of being in the NFL were over. But a couple weeks later, I talked to my agent, and he was out making phone calls for me, doing work for me, and I get a call from the Packers telling me that they're ready for me to, you know, come in and get a workout. Talking to my agent, he was like, you know, this is a legit chance. Show them what you got. Go out there and give it your all. I went out there. I had my workout. I thought I did pretty decent, but, you know, maybe they seen something that they liked. Obviously, that's why I'm here. And, you know, after my workout, there wasn't a roster spot open. So I sat down and I spoke with one of the recruits, one of the guys that worked me out. And they were just telling me that they like what I did, they like what they saw in me, and, you know, we want you back as soon as possible. So me, you know, I'm thinking, oh, they're not gonna call me back. But for sure, like a week later, I got my phone call. Hey, you ready to go? Hey, your bag's packed. I need you to there for the 3 hours. I'm like, okay, let's go.
Well, my bag. It's impressive. You stuck around for the whole season, and then after the season ended, the Packers signed you to a contract. Does that make you feel like they're interested in developing you now?
Yeah, and that's what I feel like I need, and I'm very glad and grateful that they stuck with me, because I'm going to grow. This is only my second year playing cornerback, so I'm going to grow, and I'm going to get better, and things are going to get easier for me, so. Yeah, it's a big confidence boost.
I wanted to get your reaction to the coaching changes announced yesterday. There wasn't too much change on the defensive side of the football, but Ron Zook was named special teams coordinator. I have to imagine you envision playing special teams, right?
Yes, I did. Towards the end of the season, actually, when we started, you know, getting a little connection, getting a little closer, he started getting the feel for me. But then, things went well, but we started getting a connection at the end of the season, and that's where I feel like that's where most of the money is going to get made. That's how you get yourself out there, being on that special team, showing yourself on that special team.
Do you like the move of Ron Zook taking over?
Yeah, Ron Zook, he's a great coach. He's a good coach, and that's what he does. He's a good special teams coach.
Let's talk about your position coach, Joe Witt. What was it like playing for him?
I absolutely love playing for Joe Witt. I tell my people all the time that Coach Joe is the best coach I've ever had in my life. And, That's honestly how I feel. He's a great cornerback coach. He's a great life coach. He's the best coach I've ever had.
Is he the next guy who's going to get a promotion someday?
Is he the next guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he should. As long as I still have him as my coach, no matter where the promotion is.
Sounds good. Now, you played your college football at Utah State, same as another cornerback on the Packers roster, Jared Bush. Did you two share that bond at all?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I walked in the locker room and I seen him, we met. It was all love. It was all love from the beginning. And that's also with everybody in the locker room. Our locker room is so, you know, tight knit, and everybody's really like a family. But, you know, Jared being from Utah State, he kind of took me under his wing and let me, like, show me the ropes, let me know what I need to do to get out there on the field and play. And, you know, he let me know that special teams is key. Now, I mean, I don't know if he was just being biased because he's like a special teams guru, but, you know, I listen and I try to get ahead on whatever I can get so I can get out on the field.
We're talking to Packers cornerback Tay Glover right here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Tay, as I'm sure you know, Jarrett, along with Tremont Williams and Devon House, they're all going to be free agents in March. Do you see Green Bay as a place that might be somewhere you can climb up the depth chart if these guys happen to leave?
Yes, indeed, I do. And I'm very confident this offseason. Because that's where I'm gonna get my shine on, and that's where I'm gonna win my big contract. Because I'm ready to go out here and compete and get me some playing time. You know.
Do you have any insight to what these guys are thinking? Are they gonna move on? Are they gonna re-sign with the Packers?
I don't know. I have no idea what the Packers are thinking about them, and I have no idea what they're thinking about re-signing. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I'm just worried about me right now.
I understand that. When I look at the Packers roster, speaking of you, you're listed at 175 pounds, the lightest player on the entire team. So I guess the question is, can a guy that's 175 pounds hold up to the physicality in the NFL?
Hey, I got a lot of heart. It's, I always say it ain't about the size of the line, it's the size of the heart. But... yeah, I'm definitely getting that 175 up though during this offseason. So now that 175 won't look so bad next time I see you on the roster.
I do like the answer with the size of the fight in the lion metaphor there. What's next for you? What do you got planned this offseason?
Well, right now I'm actually looking out the window at Utah State. I'm actually back here in Utah.
Okay.
I'm working out a little bit just to, you know, stay moving. But in March is when I'm really gonna start going hard. You know, getting ready for this off season. And you know, I'm out in Utah. Like on the 20th, I'll be out in LA for one of my friend's birthdays. So I'm enjoying the off season for sure. But I'm also, you know, I also keep my goal in my eyes. So.
Very good. Tay, we appreciate you taking some time to talk to us. We wish you all the best of luck, and we'll see you when you get back to Green Bay. And what is it, April?
April 20th.
April 20th. You know right off the top of your head, so very good.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Well, best of luck, and thanks again for talking to us.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, take care. Tay Glover Wright, Packers cornerback, joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well here this morning on the show. As we continue our discussion about the Packers coaching staff and the changes they made yesterday.
Packers news of the day.
On Thursday, the Packers finalized the changes to the coaching staff, starting with the offensive moves. Mike McCarthy gives up play calling duties, just as it had been reported, and Tom Clements will take over, which also includes the title of associate head coach Offense, apparently, because now there is two associate head coaches on the team, one for offense, one for defense. Of course, Winston Moss keeping that title he had already. I don't know. Should anything happen to Mike McCarthy, I'm not sure what the Packers would do there. I'm not sure if that's clarified yet, but regardless, I think that's a rather minor thing in the whole grand scheme of things here among everything that was announced yesterday and everything that changed. So Tom Clements taking over offensive play calling duties. He was an offensive coordinator, if you'll remember, at one time at another place in the NFL. I believe it was like mid-2000s with the Buffalo Bills, like 2004, 2005, something like that, and ends up getting fired from the job. But to be fair to Tom Clements, Buffalo in 2004, 2005 certainly didn't have the talent Green Bay has right now with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, with weapons like Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb at wide receiver. So it could be a very big difference for him these next few years. And we'll see what changes there are in store with the play calling. Of course, also yesterday, Edgar Bennett promoted to offensive coordinator. You know, that gives him promotion, kind of keeps him in Green Bay, prevents him from going to another team that may be looking for him to become an offensive coordinator someday. So I think that's a very good thing for the Green Bay Packers. And on top of that, with Edgar Bennett, his duties changing a little bit, one of the more interesting things that we learned yesterday, Alex Van Pelt's title now includes both quarterbacks and wide receivers. That apparently is a rarity. From what I read at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's article, and I have not confirmed this myself, it would take a long time to confirm by going through all 32 teams, but I believe Alex Van Pelt is the only coach in the NFL whose job duties include both quarterbacks and wide receivers. So that is interesting there. I mean, obviously that, you know, that's a rarity. It just doesn't happen. But I believe as they explained yesterday, during their press conference, that, you know, they watch film together anyway, quarterbacks and wide receivers. Obviously, they're very involved together no matter. So I doubt it's going to be a big change. And when they do break up, you know, Edgar Bennett's still going to be out on the practice field. It's not like he's going to be in a room somewhere. I have to imagine he'll still be working with receivers to an extent. I don't know how heavily, how much things change, but you know he's going to be out there, so it's not like he's not going to be doing anything. So perhaps when they break up, there will be more with Edgar Bennett working with the wide receivers while Alex Van Pelt stays with the quarterbacks. Another thought that goes through your head as you try to rationalize some of these moves the Packers made yesterday. So with Mike McCarthy relinquishing play calling duties, he apparently is going to be spending more time with all the units, but particularly with special teams. And I thought that was another big takeaway from yesterday's press conference. Ron Zook, of course, was promoted. I suppose if we step back in time here, of course, Sean Slocum was fired end of January as Packers special teams coordinator. Ron Zook is promoted and takes over. Jason Simmons was promoted. He was kind of like the number three special teams guy, also worked with defense. Now he'll work with special teams more heavily and be the number two guy on special teams. But the net gain on the coaching staff was zero when Jerry Montgomery was hired. Even though he won't work with special teams, he's going to be more involved with defense. So, you know, the Packers basically have three guys working with the special teams unit. Ron Zook, number one, Jason Simmons, number two, and number three, will be head coach Mike McCarthy. So there you go. I thought that was interesting there. And Mike McCarthy says, because obviously you're head coach, you're going to work with everyone, offense, defense. And, you know, for a guy who's basically spent his entire career on the offensive side of the football, this will be a change for Mike McCarthy, you know, working with these other units. But I think that's good. I think that's great that the head coach is going to be more heavily involved with special teams. I think there's a tendency, and we've talked about this before on the show, that special teams can kind of be the overlooked unit, the one that, you know, offense and defensive players don't necessarily want to be a part of, you know, and I get it, but there's also times when special teams can cost you a game, like it has for the Packers, you know, a couple times this year, that, you know, giving up all those blocked kicks, giving up touchdowns on fake field goals, giving up punt returns for touchdowns. It, you know, it all adds up, and all of a sudden you give up, you know, a block, you give up a touchdown, and then you're, you know, pointing fingers on special teams. So I think that's great that Mike McCarthy's more involved there. Perhaps players will take their special teams duties a little more seriously if he's around. And he's trying to change things there. So that's just a new takeaway there, another one from Thursday's news of the coaching shakeup, I guess. Not really, nobody knew fired or anything yesterday, but changes in titles and things like that. So then on the defensive side of the football, the one new addition was Jerry Montgomery was hired as defensive front assistant. And, it, you know, we were kind of speculating the last episode here. He's going from co-defensive coordinator at the University of Oklahoma to, you know, basically a quality control position with the Packers. But his title wasn't quality control. It's defensive front assistant, which will also include coaching outside linebackers, elephant ends, edge rushers, whatever term you want to give to these players. He's going to be working with guys like Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, Mike Neal, Nick Perry, guys like that, younger guys, Jayrone Elliott, Adrian Hubbard. And apparently Jerry Montgomery will work hand in hand with Dom Capers. And you have to understand, that's basically the reason I think he's coming to Green Bay. If you wondered why he was leaving a coordinator position at a major college, well, it's to work under a guy like Dom Capers and working hand in hand with him. You have to think that, you know, the Packers think rather highly of this Jerry Montgomery. Feel like, you know, he's got some upward mobility in the coaching ranks. You have to imagine the next thing he'll do in the NFL is be a position coach, but a kind of guy who might be on a fast track to being a coordinator in the NFL someday. So I mean, that's big. That's big. Jerry Montgomery, probably the type of guy who's going to be basically coordinating the scout team defense. Or, you know, I suppose the offense actually is that'll be facing the, you know, the first team defense in practices and things like that. But, very much involved on the defensive side of the football, and a guy whose name is worth keeping tabs on here, as he kind of seems like he's an up and comer in the coaching ranks. So. That basically does it. Mike Solari officially added to the Packers staff yesterday as well. Assistant offensive line coach coming from the 49ers organization. Of course, they went through some changes there when Jim Harbaugh left, and he went to Michigan, and so that basically allowed Solari to come to Green Bay. He'll work with James Campen, the the, you know, lead offensive line coach, Mike Solari, will be assistant, but he brings a wealth of experience, at least, to the offensive line. So that kind of sums up the changes that took place. Kudos to Mike McCarthy for, you know, kind of giving up his duties, as it sounds like from his comments. It was kind of his own decision, and it rather surprised General Manager Ted Thompson and President Mark Murphy when they kind of convened after the season. And Mike McCarthy thought this was in the best interests of the team, but I think he left, you know, the play calling duties in good hands. I just think that Mike McCarthy allowing himself to focus more on game management, especially during game days, will be the biggest thing. But also having a hand on special teams and defense as well, I think that's what a head coach can and should do. I can understand if they want to call plays, but I think when you look at the macro picture, that's a good thing too. Other news at Cheesehead TV yesterday, I wanted to share this. We posted our annual mock draft survey, sixth annual. I've been doing this for 6 years now. Basically, what I do is find a database of mock drafts on the internet, all the way from, you know, respected, you know, basically mock draft, NFL draft experts, I guess you could say, like Mel Kiper, the guys at CBS Sports like Rob Rang and Dane Brugler, and others from there. NFL.com's like Charles Davis, Daniel Jeremiah, they're included as well. But you know, just amateur fan bloggers too. I go through more than 100 mock drafts to figure out, okay, who do they have the Packers taking? And the number one player, the person whose name appeared the most times, was Miami linebacker Denzel Perryman. I mean, if you've been following the NFL draft to any extent, this shouldn't surprise you. I mean, the Packers, first of all, basically mock drafts reflect of where is the need on each team. You know, it seems like every year I do this, it's like the biggest need on the team is where the position the people conducting mock drafts kind of go after. And of course, in Green Bay, you see AJ Hawk, Brad Jones, these guys are going to be, you know, cut here in a few weeks, salary cap casualties for one, but ineffectiveness for another. You kind of see Clay Matthews probably best fits as a movable chess piece as opposed to a full-time inside linebacker. So, I mean, it makes sense. It's just a matter of, do you like Denzel Perryman at number 30, or which inside linebacker do you like the best? It was very, very close. If I remember the results correctly, his name appeared 19 times, and the second place finisher was also an inside linebacker, Bernardrick McKinney of Mississippi State. And in fact, the third place finisher was also an inside linebacker, Eric Kendricks of UCLA. So, I mean, you know, you can kind of see that people think inside linebacker is a big need, but now it's, you know, which one do you like and who's going to be available? We've talked about this on the show too before, you know, kind of breaking down these guys a little bit. I wrote an article earlier in the week. I think that Eric Kendricks is maybe the most likely guy in that I think he's kind of good against the pass. Denzel Perryman is kind of short. He measured in at less than 5'11" at the Senior Bowl, which is a little bit of a red flag. Not to say you can't be a good player at that height, but that was a little bit, you know, shorter than, you know, maybe your first round material is. But that being said, I know the conversation at Cheesehead TV in the comments section, some people pointing out, well, not necessarily unlike Chris Borland. And look what Chris Borland did this past year for the 49ers. He's a little bit short, but another high motor guy. So maybe Denzel Perryman's the guy. But I shared that. And just by the way, the top non-inside linebacker vote getter was tight end Max Williams of Minnesota. I think, boy, if Max Williams is on the board at number 30 and the Packers have the chance to get the top tight end in the whole draft, he's going to be tough to pass up. I don't know if he'll last that long, but he's young and he's good, and he will be tough to pass up. And I don't know, maybe you address inside linebacker later if a guy like that is still around. But, you know, just one other thing I wanted to talk about here. Speaking of inside linebackers, Paul Dawson, the prospect from TCU, just yesterday, or was it 2 days ago now, he wrote a firsthand account, kind of like a journal entry for USA Today. And there's kind of been this, you know, scuttlebutt that he has some character issues or off-field issues. I know they've published this on his official profile at NFL.com, where they kind of profile all the NFL draft prospects. I believe Lance Zierlein writes them. And so Paul Dawson listed with these concerns. And so he finally, and they were never specific. And in fact, I had briefly spoke with somebody at TCU asking, what's going on here? You know, what has he done in his past? And they didn't have an answer for me. So it rather, you know, wasn't something too public. But so Paul Dawson writes this journal entry for USA Today. And basically, they are rather minor concerns if Dawson is being totally forthcoming and telling the truth. He apparently failed a drug test for Adderall. He claims he got a prescription afterwards, so he can now take it and be okay. And that he was also late for meetings, things like that. And kind of eased my concerns a little bit. I mean, if he's being forthcoming, I think these are rather minor in terms of, you know, a guy the Packers could be strongly considering late in the first round of the draft, that this comes out now. So I wish I could have the time right now to pass along a link to you. But if you're interested in reading up on that, just Google Paul Dawson, USA Today. I'm sure it'll be the first thing that pops up, just published in the past day or so. But finally learning a little bit more about him. So hopefully rather minor concerns, and a guy the Packers could be considering with the 30th overall pick in the first round. So there you go. There's your Packers news of the day, and now it's time for
the day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers here on a Friday, defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon is scheduled to appear in court on Friday in his native Florida for a probable cause hearing pertaining to the forfeiture of his property. This comes from Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, something he posted via Twitter. Details are scarce. I would assume this has to do with his firearm, that he may, because he was involved in a felony, have to give that up. I don't know if his money was involved. As you might remember, LaTroy Guyon was carrying about $190,000 in cash when he was arrested. One report from Adam Kaplan of ESPN.com is that there's proof this comes from his paychecks with the Packers and not necessarily from any drug dealing he was doing. That's just a report, something that hasn't been confirmed. So, I don't know what to make of this. Perhaps we'll find out more today when the hearing is done and we find out what happens with this property. I suppose this will be the first in several steps of the process here. This is just one court hearing that has to do with property. I don't think he's going to make any deals or going to plead innocent or guilty or no contest or one way or the other today. I think this just has to do with his property. So we're waiting to find that out. Takes place, I believe, 9:30 a.m. Central. So not too long, a half hour from now, if you're watching the live edition of the show in Florida. So 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, or 10:30 a.m. Eastern time out there.
So we're waiting for that to come down the pike, and that's the next thing on the Packers docket here on a Friday. Speaking of Friday and Railbird Central, this will be the last edition of the show for a week. I apologize. We will not have any shows next week at all, partially because Wednesday and Friday, I'm going to be in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine. So as I usually say when I'm gone, I hope to make it up to you by providing you some good original reporting and content from Indianapolis at the Combine. On Monday, I simply have a doctor's appointment that I can't change. So I could be, I'm around on Monday. I got to go to a doctor's appointment. I'm sorry. But going to be providing you some original reporting from the NFL Combine later in the week. I'm excited to do that. So sorry, you won't be without much podcasting material for the next week or so. But we'll be back soon after that. And we are approaching Railbird Central's 500th episode. We'll be getting to that within the next month, in the month of March. I'm really excited about that. I'm hoping to line up a really good guest for that show. So still working on that, but I'm looking forward to that. But that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you everybody so much for joining us. Seeing as I'm gone for a week, I'll make a plea here. If you have not before given us a rating on iTunes, please do so. We have no paywall here at Cheesehead TV. There is no subscription. Everything, all our content is 100% free. So one small thing you could do in exchange is just give us a rating on iTunes. I'm not even asking for a full 5 stars, although if you want to give us it, by all means. It just helps, you know, get the word out, and I think helps people looking for podcasts when they're searching the internet find us and be like, oh, this is a good one on the Packers. Please do that. Give us a rating, and we'll be all square. Go give Glover Wright, Tay Glover Wright, to follow on Twitter, too. Tell him he had a good interview on today's show. But we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later. See you in a week. A little over a week. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.